According to Cameron Klein, the chief executive of the National Australia Bank, Australia doesn't have a two-speed economy, it's more like 10 speeds. But whatever the speed, it's certainly not harming bank profits. Yesterday, NAB announced its full-year cash profit had risen by 19% to a record $5.5 billion, defying the weakness in home and business lending. Cameron Klein spoke with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.
There's really 10 speeds. There are clearly businesses that are performing very well. And it's not just mining. We're seeing a lot of growth in the health sector, for example. Parts of agriculture doing well with high soft commodity prices. The other end of the spectrum, yes, we are seeing problems with domestic tourism and with discretionary retail. But in between, there are a lot of businesses that are solid. They're not experiencing very buoyant times, but by the same means, they're not in a depressed state. And that's what you kind of get with 5.1% unemployment. So I think we're just saying that the economy on an underlying basis is actually quite strong. And in the medium to long term, we are still very optimistic that Australia will outperform a lot of developed nations.
Well, given that optimistic outlook, do you think there is much scope for the RBA to cut interest rates even at its meeting next week?
The primary mandate of the RBA is to manage inflation. They'll also have an eye to the global outlook. I think what I was stressing was that the real issue with credit demand is one of confidence. And I think confidence, or the lack of confidence, has much more to do with instability globally than it does with domestic interest rate settings. Interest rates are actually at quite low levels historically, and we're not seeing a lot of, for example, our business customers saying we're reluctant to invest because of interest rates, and we would invest if interest rates were lower. They're saying we're reluctant to invest because we think the world is so unstable. So we think global stability will be more important to consumer and business confidence than necessarily interest rate cut. But nonetheless, the RBA has got to look at the global situation and the interest rate outlook, or sort of the inflation outlook here, and that might, and our call is they probably will cut rates on Melbourne Cup Day.
Well, I have to ask the question that everybody has been asking you. If we do get that rate cut, will the NAB be one of the banks to pass it on in full?
Well, we don't really give a forward outlook other than to say that we've had a very competitive track record. We've had the lowest standard variable mortgage rate now for over 2.5 years, and we've also positioned ourselves to remove exit fees, both on new and existing loans, so that if customers feel that we don't offer the best deal, we're not trapping them into the loan and allowing them to seek a better deal elsewhere. So I think we'd stand by our competitive record.
That sounds like you're keeping your options open, that you may just hold on to that rate cut.
I think we've been pretty competitive, and I think the market share growth we've had has shown that consumers do respond to a good deal.
The Treasurer, Wayne Swan, says, though, there's absolutely no excuse for the big banks not to pass on any rate cut from the RBA. Is he right?
Well, I think, you know, the situation is that we'll look at it when we see what the RBA does, but there's many moving parts on what drives a bank's funding costs.
What about the excuse of higher funding costs? I mean, are you seeing the European situation pushing up the cost of your funds in wholesale international markets?
Look, absolutely. We are seeing both the global instability driving increasing funding costs, and need to bear in mind the Australian banks are sourcing over $100 billion to $120 billion a year in offshore markets. So clearly the price of that money does have a genuine impact on our cost. But also we're seeing new regulatory imposts associated with the Basel III recommendations also driving increased costs. So there is definitely increased costs coming into the system.
Well, speaking of Europe, where you still own two banks, Eurozone leaders have managed to come up with a deal of sorts to try and end the debt crisis. Now, as a banker, do you have high hopes that we're nearing the end game here on this?
Look, it's very early to tell, but it looks to be a positive sign. I think that basically everybody was of the view that there was going to have to be some sort of haircut on Greek debt. The issue was, could it be agreed? Could it be orderly? And could a recapitalisation occur to those institutions where that cut may be quite severe if they're holding quite significant amounts of the debt? So it is still early days. It's a positive development. And if we can actually see that it's actually backed up by substance and appropriate lines of support to recapitalise those institutions, then in fact we might be, hopefully, as an optimist, moving into a more global stability, which will be good for confidence.
Do you think the single currency zone can survive this? Should it survive?
I think, a difficult question because, you know, fundamentally I think what's been exposed by this crisis is that it's difficult to run a common currency without a common fiscal structure. Now, that usually was the basic premise of a common currency zone, that you had a common fiscal structure. And I think what we've found in this stressed environment is the divergence of fiscal structure has been the real problem. So I think probably the long-term survival of the euro is probably more of a question mark than it was perhaps even 6 months ago.
Well, just finally, and back to Australia, are you satisfied with the way the Federal Labor Government has been managing the economy? Because of a lot of your colleagues in the business community don't seem to be. In fact, they're lining up to criticise the government, the Gillard government, and most of its reforms.
Look, I think, you know, we take a view that there's always, and has been at least in the 25 years I've been in business, there's always going to be government policies that businesses like and don't like, and I've found this government is always open.
Is the government managing the economy well?
I think you've got to look at the fundamentals relative to the rest of the world. Unemployment's relatively benign. We've avoided a recession to date. You know, obviously there are areas where I think we're very pleased with the way the economy is developing. There are other areas where, you know, obviously we'd like to see policies perhaps different, but I think we take a view the most constructive way to participate in government policy is to engage directly with the government, not engage with the government via the media.
I think that was a tentative yes. NAB's Chief Executive Cameron Klein speaking with our business editor Cheryl Bagwell. And when it comes to dealing directly with the government, the NAB now has the assistance of the former Treasury Secretary Ken Henry. He joins the bank's board next week.